Hello, and welcome to the Vlogging Pod. Tonight, we are joined by Samantha Picaro. Welcome to the room, Samantha. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I just had dinner, and this is probably the third podcast I've ever done in my entire life, not just as an author, so I'm excited. Thanks, everybody, for wanting to listen to me.
Awesome. So what were the other interviews not as an author that you did?
No, they were as an author.
I mean, as an author. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, awesome. I'm glad that we were among those few that you've done so far. Have you enjoyed the experience?
Yes, I have, especially because I don't have to appear on the screen.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty shy.
You know what? When we first started doing this, I told a lot of my people I came on the interview, I said, you know, you can feel free to be in your pajamas because it's just my head bobbing along in the camera over here. So, yeah, that's nice. So what did we have for dinner? What did we have for our special evening tonight?
Home cooked mac and cheese. I like cooking and baking, which is one of the reasons I made my first book about a cafe and a second book about a bakery.
Nice. So since you mentioned that, let's start right off and talk about this autistic teen who plans a fundraiser in Limitless Roads Cafe. Tell me about the book.
Okay, so the title is actually the name of the cafe. I've never actually worked in a cafe, and my friends tell me I'm not missing much. No offense to any baristas who are listening in right now, though you probably agree, even if it is rewarding in some ways. So the main character, Kinsey, is autistic, and she works with other teens with different disabilities because the cafe hires teens with disabilities. It threatens to close, so over the summer, she plans a fundraiser with help from her former best friend, who does not have any disabilities, but has her own reasons for wanting to help with the fundraiser.
Oh,
so it's like a partnership, a mutually beneficial partnership. I always like those kinds of plots in books and movies.
Well, nice. Now, as a young adult author, talk to me about your process in writing this first book.
Okay, so I have to remember what it was like to be a teenager, and I can't really think like an adult. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll watch teen movies, or I already read lots of young adult books, so it's kind of easy to get back into the mind of a teenager. I'm not the type to just write as I go. I need to have an outline, and I'm a plotter.
Mm-hmm. Right, I get you.
Then once I have the plot, I separate it into chapters, and then I finally start writing.
Right. Nice. Now, do you have a board you put everything up on, or you just basically do it on the computer?
Oh, I pretty much like everybody else now, I do it on the computer. Microsoft mm-hmm. World is my life when it comes to writing.
Right. I'm with you on that. I love Microsoft. That's how I do mine as well. Awesome. See, now I'm different than you. I'm more of, I'll plot my characters out a little bit, but usually they grow as the book grows. And do you always know your ending of your book before you write it?
Yes, I do. Not the details, but like, you know, the general picture.
Mm-hmm. See, I never like to know my ending to my book. I kind of like to wing it because it's like when I start writing, it makes me feel like I'm actually reading the book. So as I go along, I get to be like, oh, that excitement, like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens. And then I'm like, crap, that's why I have to write that.
That sounds really good. I don't think I could do that because I'm a total plotter, even in my everyday life. I live each day by like a literal checklist of like errands or even if I'm meeting a friend.
Oh, wow. You're well,
and the main character in my book lives on checklists. Each chapter in Limitless Roads Cafe begins with a list.
Nice. So you do kind of reflect your character. I read in some of your interviews, you said that your character Kinsley reflects yourself. Can you explain to our listeners on how that is?
Kinsey and I are both autistic. We both prefer to kind of be on our own. We're both shy and introverted, but we're both real go-getters and we both dream big. She dreams of making a name for herself as an event planner. I dream of making it as a writer, like pretty much everybody, at least on Bookstagram.
Yeah. Right. I feel you on that. I would love to hit it big on my books too. So now I hear that you like to balance a lot of warmth and humor in your books. Can you tell me how that, tell me a little bit about how that works out for you?
So one person described my writing as like slice of life style, and I guess that's kind of an accurate description. I kind of tend to keep my books lighthearted, even though certain issues like family depression or social issues are addressed. And the humor is in like circumstances, and that could be based on some of my main characters' awkwardness. Like in one scene, she likes to stay within the blocks, the squares of a sidewalk, and that causes her to trip and fumble a little, breaking a heel in one scene. She's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now as we talk about balance, in that, like at the previous question, how did you find balancing autistic awareness into this book?
Well, my concern was that I would be too preachy. So I tried to show versus tell the audience, like, autism as I've experienced it, while also trying to point out that not every person's experience is the same, you know, based on intersectional identities like gender, race, and other identities. Like, there's actually one scene in the book where Kinsey is talking to a coworker at a cafe who is a guy and a person of color, and she's made aware, along with the reader, of how everybody's experiences are different based on those factors. And I wanted to not just bring autistic awareness, but autistic acceptance, because a lot of people in the autistic community would rather call that 1 month of the year Autistic Acceptance Month rather than Awareness Month. Because awareness kind of implies that autism is like something you have to watch out for, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can feel that. Yeah, I get that. I get that. So how would you say that your autistic identity has enabled you to write in such a clear manner so that it's very well perceived?
Well, so I incorporated some of my own experiences into the writing, or what I think could happen if I were ever in such situations, because like I said, I've never worked in a cafe, but through volunteering and through my non-writing job, I have helped plan events. And through my writing, I try to be as honest and authentic as possible.
Right. Well, you do wonderful for me. I'm and I think the book is very well written. I think you did an awesome job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Like, so this one person told me, "Oh, aren't you afraid of offending people in some ways by using words like neurotypical, because I guess some people don't like that term. And then I explained that when you say things like that, you make it about the neurotypical person and not neurodivergent or neurodiverse people. And mm-hmm. the point of my books is to speak from that perspective. Because right. all too often in books and in real life, we're taught to prioritize the majority population's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like you were saying before, this is from one perspective. Even when you were talking about race, color, creed, you're talking about one perspective of autism. I would assume that not every situation is exactly the same. Am I correct?
Absolutely not. And right. And that's why I try to educate myself on how exactly those experiences are different, and that certain privileges give me kind of an unfair advantage when it comes to a platform for writing. And so mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons I'm a huge supporter in the general idea of authors supporting authors.
Right. Right. Because every scenario, I would assume, as far as autistic, even regular authors in general, everything is different. So even your book, based on one particular autistic trait, wouldn't be the similar for every autistic person, correct?
Absolutely, which is why it's so important for people to really read different types of books with different types of peoples and experiences, so that you can get as many different perspectives as possible.
Exactly. I fully understand. And I think that commend you for making such a book to bring that to light, to let people know that there are a lot more things to that, and that we shouldn't stereotype autistic.
Yeah, correct? One of the reasons I made Kinsey an event planner is not just because of my own experiences, but because it's often assumed that somebody who is autistic wants to go into the STEM field.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think you did a wonderful job bringing that to light. I think with anything, that everyone has their own individualism, and it can be said the same with any kind of handicap. We're not just our handicap. We are a lot of other things that we have interest in.
Yes.
Great.
But so just to be mindful, certain people don't really like the word handicap anymore, but the word disability is fine.
Right. Disability. Excuse me. I fully understand that. So this being your first book as an indie author, what did you learn in comparison to doing everything yourself? And in that you also have a second one coming along. What did you learn as far as being an indie author?
What didn't I learn? There's plenty of posts online that say it best. When you're an indie writer, you have to basically major in everything. Basically be self-taught in marketing, in editing, although you should still hire a professional editor. You should be a master of graphic design to make all the social media posts. And you should definitely major in interviewing, like I'm doing right now. Basically a jack of all trades.
Yes. There's a lot to it people don't understand or get. And being an indie author, a lot of the times, if you don't hire those things out, you have to learn how to do them hands-on.
Yes, and like budgeting is another life skill that comes into play.
Yes, yes. Now, when you did your book covers, you did them yourself, or did you have someone do them for you?
I absolutely did not do them myself. I hired somebody.
Ah, nice. Now, there are some programs that you could have. Canva is a really good one. C-A-N-V-A.
I use Canva for everything.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Me too. They are great to do your promos and advertising your book, and you can also create a book cover there too. They're very nice at doing stuff like that. I really love the graphic quality.
Well, so a book cover is the first thing somebody sees. So I wanted to hire somebody who really knew what they were doing. And my book designer, Hannah Linder, really is so talented. So I will continue to trust her to make the most eye-catching covers. Otherwise, I will address everybody by saying that I highly recommend Canva for making social media posts, flyers, videos, whatever involves some kind of creativity.
Right. They're very good. I would highly recommend them as well. So as you were telling me about the first book, tell me about the second one you have coming. I believe it's in May.
Yes, May 17th. It's called Recipe for Confidence. Will you excuse me for a moment?
Okay.
I apologize.
So as we wait for our author to come back in, we're talking with Samantha Picaro. Her first book was Limitless Roads Cafe. And that's quite okay. And so you were going to tell us about the book Recipe for Confidence?
Okay. So I see a comment more about the bird. I apologize. That was my pet parrot, Mango. He's also my writing buddy.
And that's actually my husband that's in the room there, and he loves birds. They used to raise them.
Aww.
Yeah, he had parakeets and that. They used to love their birds. Oh, he says, go Mango.
I see that.
Yeah, he's in the house and I'm in the she shed, so he likes to listen in.
So you're in a literal she shed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a little she shed across from the pool, and my mother has an apartment on the other side of the pool. And then I'm in here, and I also have a sound booth in my she shed. And I've got a kitchen sink, I've got a computer out there, and then the sound booth is, you know, pretty much the sound foam in the door and just a little, like a kind of like a closet.
That's amazing. Oh.
Laura says she has pictures up on her page, her IG. Yeah, I do. I have pictures of my she shed on my page. So you were telling us about your latest. It's coming out in May 17th.
Yes, it is. It's, again, young adult contemporary. And this time, it's going to take place in a bakery.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about the plot? Is it going to be with the same character, or is this a whole different new characters?
A whole new set of characters. Sorry for anybody who was waiting on a sequel.
Aww. I wouldn't have minded a sequel.
I'm a huge fan of standalones, so sorry.
Aww. Well, that's all right. Can you give us a little bit of the premise of this book?
So, Bryn Caputo works at her aunt's bakery and uses her graphic design skills to help promote it. And she also helps fellow students once she becomes more comfortable telling people about her passion and her skills. She lacks confidence, but really wants to build a portfolio because she is in her junior year and wants to major in it in college. Nice. And the bakery specializes not only in Italian desserts and sweets, but makes something called setback cakes. Setback cakes are what they sound like. They celebrate setbacks so that people feel less ashamed of them and so that they never stop trying. For example, one person in the book orders a setback cake for their first low grade on an exam.
Oh, well, that's nice. I like how your books are trying to bring up characters and make people more okay with having issues that they can overcome. I love that.
Thanks. And Bryn works in secret at the bakery and hasn't told her parents about her graphic design passion because they're super protective, and they used to run a restaurant, but it closed years ago. So the family has never psychologically moved past it. So Bryn feels like she has to prove her skills before she shares her love of graphic design with her parents or even her close friends.
Oh, okay. Well, that's awesome. I can't wait for your next book to come out.
Thank you. So Bryn's feelings are based on my own. I struggled a long time with publishing and marketing because I was unsure of my own skills and feeling like I needed to prove myself and like I was dealing with imposter syndrome. And maybe that's something everybody struggles with.
Yes, yes. That is something you are not alone with. Trust me, I just now finished a book I started in 2015. I never finished it. And I went back and kept going back. And then I had setbacks as far as family, and a lot of things happened. And then I felt like a failure because I wasn't finishing it. And then every time I would try to finish it, I thought, this sucks. I can't do this. It doesn't sound the same. So what you're feeling, totally normal, totally normal. And I applaud you for continuing to writing and overcoming that.
I applaud you too.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just glad I finally finished it. It's been a long time coming. That's a lot of years I put it aside. So you're doing way better than I am. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, it's not a competition. And one of the points of my book is not to compare yourself to other people.
Exactly. Very true. Very true.
Besides, it's better to spend years on a book and have it turn out awesome than to spend like maybe a few months on the book and have it be like, eh.
Oh, you're very sweet. I hope I lived up to those words. I really do. I hope it lives up to those words. I want to take a moment, guys. We're at that time in our interview where we talk about the Amazon deal of the day. Today is something my husband actually pointed mine out to me today because he was like, man, I really like that screen when he came into the she shed today. And it is a Samsung 27-inch series curved computer monitor, ultra slim design. And it's HDMI. It's brand flipping new. I got mine. It was a, what do they call those? Where they had to fix it, reuse, remade. And so I got a deal on mine. But this one is a flying deal. It's 18% off of the $169.99, leaving us with $139.99. The link will be in the bio, guys, for anyone who's interested. And trust me, I love mine, even though mine was a fixer-upper, reconditioned. There's the word I was looking for, reconditioned. But I absolutely love it. I want to thank you so much, Samantha, for being in our room tonight. I have enjoyed you immensely, and I'd love to have you back anytime you'd want to come on, okay?
May I just add one more thing?
Yes, go right ahead.
So one more thing, everybody, I promise. So since my book is coming out in May, I do have advanced reader copy signups open as of right now. It's on a Google form in my link tree on Instagram.
Fantastic. Why don't you send that to Laura and I will put it in the bio of this interview, okay?
Okay, perfect.
All right, we'll get right on and I'll make sure I add that. So anyone who's interested, please reach out to Samantha and she can get you a proofread on it. Thank you so much again, Samantha. Come back anytime. I'd love to have you back on.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody for listening.
Thank you. I want to thank our listeners as well. Until next time, guys. Bye-bye for now.